I almost start every single one of these programs with saying, so. To that end, I'm actually going to avoid saying, so, I think. Not that is great. Like, I don't want to... Obviously, the whole point of the ham radio format is to sort of avoid, you know... The roughness is kind of built in. You know, you don't want to... Artifice is, I think, kind of the enemy of the ham radio format to a certain degree. You know, because, I mean, part of what's so fun about it is that it's just, you know, random things just sort of come to someone's head. And that's cool. You know, it's like, it's interesting to hear the kind of... garbage that ends up spewing forth from the mind of someone walking around and talking into a recorder. Just going to stop and pick up the mail here before I go on and do some daily things. So let's start out the show with on a nice positive note. This is something from Beulah from an album, I don't know, it's a few years old now. The album's called When Your Heartstrings Break, and the song's called If We Can Land a Man on the Moon, Surely I Can Win Your Heart, which is a catchy little title, and it's a catchy little tune, so this is Beulah.
I'll fight if you want me to fight. I'll laugh if you want me to laugh and cancel out the sun. I will, you know I surely will. Cause all you need is a pretty song.
I'm just walking home from my friend Stefan's house. Hold on. That was a segment and song from Gabe's podcast Fam Radio that he does out representing fucking Newfoundland. I really like that little segment, so I stole it completely and put it in my show. You can find a link to his show on my page. Go to keithcourage.com, click podcasts over on the right. You'll see all the various ham radio style shows. I'm just walking across the walking bridge in my hometown, and I know I said this with the last show I did with Matt. It is ludicrously beautiful here. Way more than I ever realized. I so took this place for granted. And it's even made me understand, not accept and enjoy the winter, but understand that that's part of the equation. The fact that for at least 8 months of the year, it's miserable here. That's the reason why it's so nice. That's the reason why the population is so low. It's, you know, if it was nice here all year, all kinds of people would live here and it just wouldn't be the same. So I'm going to try hard to remember that this winter. We'll see how it goes. I might still freak out and have to go back to Vancouver or something. I don't know. Anyway, walking back from my friend Stefan's house, I haven't seen this guy since forever, man. Like, since I moved out to Vancouver. But we used to do a website called The Beehive, where we made fun of bad movies. I guess we talk about that a bit on this. So our idea was to do, like, a fan commentary for S. Darko, the Donnie Darko sequel that just came out, which we were just presuming is a piece of junk. But I honestly can't tell you, because we didn't get very far into it before we realized we just weren't paying any attention to the movie and there was no point to that, so we just switched off and did a normal ham radio instead. So there's some talk about, like, queuing up the fucking podcast with the movie. Don't bother. Do not bother. We aborted that commentary. It didn't get very far. But before we start, I guess I got into some of this too at his place. I can't remember what I said or how much of it really was clear. So I just want to quickly say that I have these really good memories of Donnie Darko. Yeah, I'll recap real quick. So basically, I saw Donnie Darko. I might be repeating some stuff that I said later on, but I saw Donnie Darko in Vancouver with the girl I was dating at the time, and it really stuck with me. I really kind of got weirdly obsessed with Donnie Darko. And it's one of these movies that I completely understand why people might not like it, because it's very abstract. It doesn't necessarily make sense. Not usually the kind of thing that I like. And that's one of these things where I've never been a fan of conceptual, abstract type art. I like things to be very literal, very clear. That's the only way that they connect with me. The only way that I tend to find things moving. And Donnie Darko was different. Donnie Darko did not follow a very clear narrative path, but it hit all these emotional beats that really kind of resonated with me. Even just the way Jake Gyllenhaal talks in that movie. I've heard that it was kind of based on Richard Kelly, the director, based on how that guy talked. But it reminds me of my brother's mannerisms back when he was still sane before he became a really fucked up junkhead. And just it's so hard to explain why I like Donnie Darko so much. It totally does not seem like the kind of thing that I should like, but it had just the right mixture of these resonating moments and humor and pop culture, and it was all just in this nice mix that I think was largely an accident. I still haven't seen Richard Kelly's follow-up movie, Southland Tales, but if I like it, I'll be surprised, you know? There's like almost an ineptness to Donnie Darko that just worked out somehow. So, before we bust into the podcast me and Stefan recorded earlier today, let's play the big famous song from Donnie Darko. Movie which made no money in North America, but was a weirdly surprise hit in England. And this song, this is the Tears for Fears song, Mad World, covered as a nice piano ballad, was also a big hit on the UK charts. The whole thing just kind of took off over there, where it was just a weird cult movie over here. So let's listen to the very pretty but ultra depressing piano plinking fucking Mad World that ends off Donnie Darko, and then slide right into our weird rambly nerd podcast.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow, no tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad, the dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Hello teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
All right, let me do a quick preamble. This is going to give away within the next 20 seconds how Donnie Darko ended the first movie. So if you got any problem with that, turn this shit off. This is going to be a commentary track for S. Darko, and so you can kind of line it up. I'm going to read this text that scrolls at the beginning. In a funny voice. Middlesex, Virginia, 1988. Donnie Darko was killed when a jet engine fell from the sky and crushed him while he was sleeping. The government never located the plane from which the engine fell, nor did they even admit the incident ever occurred. But that was just the beginning of the tragedy. And the mystery. Now, 7 years later, Donnie's youngest sister, Samantha, seemingly alone and lost in the world, has run away from a home shattered by the death of her brother. Drowning in sadness and unable to dream, she has drifted deeper and deeper into the darkness of her sleep. And when darkness consumes the starlight, nightmares rule the night. Jesus, that was going by fast.
That was gay.
All right.
That was the gayest preamble. And I'm not against gays. I like gays. I mean gay in the pejorative sense.
I agree. That was absolutely okay. But now that we get that out of the way and we're somewhat sunk up, let's introduce yourself. So I'm Keith McNally, that you all probably know from my award-winning podcast, Ham Radio.
And I'm Stefan Robuck, and I'm some guy.
Right. Yeah. So, man, we haven't seen each other since... I'll say that the idea behind this commentary track, quote-unquote, is for us to hardly pay attention to the movie at all and just blab. So even if you're not watching the movie, hopefully this will still be entertaining to listen to.
We do have some commentary projects in the conception stage, but you know, that's conception. Who the fuck knows if that's gonna happen.
Right.
Fingers crossed we'll work on it. But
so yeah, we haven't seen each other since we were guessing like maybe 2003.
Yeah. If that's when you left.
Time,
that's
man.
When you left, right?
Yeah, or maybe it was 2004. I think three though. Yeah, so before I left for Vancouver, long time ago. But yeah, we used to have a website called The Beehive.
Mm-hmm. And we would watch bad movies and just make fun of them.
And especially at the comic store.
Yes.
That I used to work at.
Probably we shouldn't have been doing that, but who cares?
Yeah. I basically would get bad movies and we just kind of let them play at the store.
By the way, a second ago the title just came by, so the movie's called Zdarko.
And we watched some mighty bad movies. We watched Crossroads with Britney Spears.
I wasn't there for that.
Oh, you didn't see that
one? No.
How about Glitter?
We did watch Glitter together.
See, because I was just going to say, that's how bad Glitter was, is that Crossroads was easily 10 times better than Glitter.
Are you sure you didn't see it in the theater? Because you've seen some bad movies in the theater just because I like this person and I like this person.
Well, that's good. I have seen a lot of bad movies for that reason, Natalie Portman especially.
Yeah.
I met her. Not you really. I walked past her.
Oh, okay,
York,
okay.
And it was weird because I was with the girl I was dating and I couldn't go like, holy shit, that's Natalie Portman, because... You know.
Well, that was cool of you not to do that.
But then she mentioned, she's like, "Do you realize that was Natalie Portman?" And I was like, "Trust me, I realized that was Natalie Portman." But I was gonna say, with us, we were just looking through movies today to potentially make fun of later, and we saw House of the Dead, and we realized that me and you saw House of the Motherfucking Dead in the theater.
Yeah.
What reason did we have to do that?
I think it was just we wanted to make fun of it. And we actually, we didn't do too badly, but you could only take so much. There were parts where it was like a joy. It was very masochistic, because it's like S&M, because there's parts where there is pleasure, and there's parts where you're not, where there's not.
For instance, Clint Howard, he was fantastic every time he showed up, because he's a wonderful man. But I never could forget that part where they go to their boat, and there's like 8 zombies on the boat, and they're like, oh man, forget it, we can't go on that boat. So then they spend like 20 minutes fighting across the fucking island, kill hundreds of zombies in slow-mo, spinning, matrixy shit, just to get to a rickety cabin that's way worse than the boat in every way. God, that movie sucked balls.
It was. The thing I remembered, and I can't do this because it's radio, old-timey radio. But
bringing back the classics.
Yes, there's a part where a zombie jumps in front of a person that has this pose, you know, like a Scooby-Doo monster, where his arms are raised and fingers are stretched out.
Just like, yeah!
Just to get shot. Like, really just jumping in front of someone's line of sight who has a gun. First of all, you're a zombie. You don't need to pose.
You know what I was thinking, too, is I think the only reason we realized that movie was directed by UA Boll and that he was famous for being shitty is Penny Arcade made fun of how shitty he was.
That was a great sketch.
It was a great comic, but in a way, I blame Penny Arcade for all the shitty UA Boll movies that I ended up seeing. Uh-oh, our movie crashed. Error report. That's a bad sign. Into some technical problems because we're stealing this movie before it even comes out. It's supposed to come out May 12th, and today it's like the 6th or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just crashed. So, I mean, I don't know. Our fucking crappy commentary is going to be way out of sync. But
Is that Michelle Trachtenberg?
No, it's the same chick who actually played his sister in the original Donnie Darko.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty cool. Like how in Terminator 3 they wanted to get Eddie Furlong again, but he was so fucked up on drugs that they couldn't. But it would have been cool if they did.
Well, so there goes my plans for Pet Sematary 2.
So what you're saying about the font at the beginning?
Yes, the font is clearly font that no man would ever have used at any time. It was just very, very odd. And it's not like, let's look at our quirky font. Because you can do that, and I won't mind. It looks like it was trying to be something that never existed.
So far, this is already not as good as the first Donnie Darko. Yeah. Remember how cool it was when it opened? Where it's the panorama, and then he wakes up on the road because he's been sleepwalking?
Yeah.
Man. So yeah, we were talking about, but we'll get back onto this actual movie. We were talking about how we've seen a lot of bad movies together.
Yes, we have.
Is the point to our House of the Dead story.
I'm still a little upset that when I was watching Devil's Nightmare, you were playing Tony Hawk. Watch Devil's Nightmare. You have to see these people die. ironic Seven Deadly Sins related deaths.
Frank's Echo Service. Okay, so to resync, they just pulled up to the gas station. Frank's Echo Service. I've heard about this movie just yesterday. This guy, Newsy, who was my roommate in New York, he posted on his Twitter, "Hey, I'm watching the Donnie Darko sequel." And I was like, "What? What the fuck are you talking about?" And I was kind of excited because I like Donnie Darko so much.
It's a good
much.
Movie, yeah.
And I've kind of gotten to this point in my life where I used to hate it when they would try to remake classic things and ruin them. But nowadays, I'm just kind of like, whatever, you might as well try. Who cares? Yeah. But then this part we're at right now, we're in this gas station, was the little sample clip for the download just to test if it worked okay. And I don't know, it's just the chicks in their cut-off jeans and this guy, this dude, is so cool. Just like, I'll give you a ride. I'll give you a ride to the gas station. Nobody really acts like that, and if they do, they're a huge douche. Look at this douche. So, just from seeing that little clip, I was like, oh shit, me and Stefan gotta fucking watch this movie, because I can't watch it on my own. It's
hey, you know what? He has Zachary Quinto brows.
Who the hell is that?
You ever see Heroes?
No, I never did.
He's the guy who played Siler, and he's playing Spock in the new movie.
Oh, okay, right. That's just making me think, though, since Richard Kelly, the guy that made Donnie Darko, he sold off the rights, and that's why they can make this sequel with no involvement from him. Maybe we can make a Donnie Darko TV series and just run it into the fucking ground. But yeah, so I don't know. Let's talk about Donnie Darko for a bit. I remember you were the first one who ever recommended Donnie Darko to me.
That surprises me because I'm usually behind. When it comes to movies, I'm usually a little behind.
And we were a couple of years behind at that point because it came out in 2000.
I don't even remember why I rented it or where I heard a recommendation for it. This is an awful font again.
June 25th, 1995.
Let's put a little more spirals in our fonts. How about that? let's make Spyro font. Spirograph font. Look, they're dating it because it's 1995 and there's the George Foreman grill and it's 1995.
You know, the George Foreman grill really is brilliant. It is amazing. So now she's putting her hand in a TV. I don't know what the fuck's going on here, which I guess is kind of the Donnie Darko.
but this isn't working.
This
version isn't working because she has a feather.
With the first Donnie Darko, so you recommended it to me. And I think that's one problem with when people recommend Donnie Darko, is they're at some point going to tell you it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And that's a hard sell. So I never watched it until out in Vancouver, the girl I was dating out there, we were just sitting around. And this is kind of nice that we're watching it on your laptop, because this is how I watched the first one. So this is it's like a callback. We were just like sitting around like, hey, you heard about this movie Donnie Darko? We both heard it was good, so we downloaded it and watched it. And it really didn't make sense, especially that first time.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about it just resonated with me.
Well, there's some movies that don't make sense and do. And I think Donnie Darko is one of them because it doesn't make sense, but it sort of almost feels like it knows that, and yet it feels like it makes sense.
Right.
Like it acts like it makes sense even though it doesn't.
Or like there's stuff going on that we just don't know about.
Yeah, exactly. It's like in the periphery. And so I akin that to dream logic, how you know what you're doing in a dream even though it's like throwing eggs at a robot. I don't know. See, that's the only thing I could think of that was wacky.
A really good way to describe it, because I even remember at the end of the movie when he goes up on the mountain and he sees the time tunnel and then everything reverses, and I had no fucking idea at that time why time just reversed, but it didn't bother me. I was like, it just seemed cool and even just the fact that that Gretchen wasn't dead anymore, Frank wasn't dead anymore, and I was just so glad that they weren't dead that I didn't even care why. And then, we're in a time tunnel now.
I think we're in the Sliders, so...
And it's just something about... I think part of it, too, not to get too fucking deep about Donnie Darko, but it is that whole thing of adolescence where everything is topsy-turvy and hardly makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked that his problems were kind of manifested as this weird-ass movie where things don't make sense.
And I feel to a certain extent, like, you can make up, like, a dozen theories. My feeling, and if you disagree with me, that's fine, is that it was some sort of aborted timeline. Like, this could happen, but it didn't now.
Right. And that's the thing is, like, even now that I've gone back and really tried to figure out what was going on in Donnie Darko, and I think I somewhat understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But I still don't necessarily understand what he did to make this alternate timeline not
happen.
Crash into the real timeline. And, like, I don't know, all he did was shoot Frank in the face and walk to a mountain and everything was fine. But then, I don't know, it's so weird because then usually I'm a big fan of structure. I got no problem with the denouement and everything, the whole timeline.
Formula.
The formula of a story. And that movie, did not have that, but I still felt really sad at the end when he was dead. You know, I was like, I had to hold back a tear a little bit because I didn't want the girlfriend at the time to think I was some big baby who cries at Donnie Darko. But
it's easy to make me cry. Remember how you said you really don't like Why the Last Man?
Right.
Last volume made me cry twice.
Well, I didn't read that one, to be fair. Maybe it all came together.
Yes and no. It's not that it all came together. It's just that, okay, these are like characters' final fates sort of thing.
Right.
Some of it just make you cry because you were like invested with them.
Yeah, I have no way to explain
that like happened. Why. No, that's fine. It's okay to be wrong, but...
and I understand that I am. Everyone else likes it. I remember when... The last issue of Preacher came out, because Preacher was like my favorite comic of ever in all time. I deliberately didn't read it at Strange Adventures because I was afraid that it would make me tear up, and it kind of did a little.
Yeah.
So I was like, I better wait till I get home and read this when I'm by myself.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's easy to make me cry. I have things that I am very embarrassed that I cried at. I won't say what they are, but I'll give you a clue. They're cartoons that aren't terribly good.
Nice.
Okay, I'll tell you one.
All right.
Last episode of the 90s X-Men cartoon. And re-watching it, I was like, this isn't very good. But when I first saw it, I was sad. And they like actually got to do like a good ending, like a proper ending for it. Right. But it wasn't that great.
I remember when I saw Shawshank Redemption, I saw it.
Well, that's something you should be proud to cry.
Yeah, that one. But still, I was glad I watched it at home. Because I was like, if I watch this in a movie theater, because I was just like a guy at Cats. Just like, yes! Yes, Andy! Ah! And it's like, man, I'm so glad no one can see this. Like, I don't care if this is a modern day classic. And you know what I'm realizing? I was thinking, like, I wonder if we'll be able to juggle watching the movie and talking.
I don't think
we totally can. We're missing. But I think
we'll just let it go. We'll just let it go.
Yeah. So after I watched Donnie Darko, I went on the website, had all this weird, cool stuff you could do that kind of...
Like alternate games kind of thing?
Yeah, and like things you had to unlock, and then newspaper headlines from how things happened now, you know, since the alternate timeline didn't happen. It's like instead of Patrick Swayze, his house burning down.
Oh, I forgot about Patrick Swayze. He was good in that.
Yeah, he was. And Sparkle Motion.
Was he like the revelation he was a pedophile or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the alternate timeline, he just disappears without a trace. Mm-hmm. You know, like he killed himself in the alternate timeline, right? I don't know. Anyway. It's just
I know he lived after he burned down his house. Donnie burned down his house or something like that?
Yes, it's been a while. Maybe we should have just watched that movie. Fuck this stupid movie. But and Donnie Darko had such a good mix of weird supernatural stuff. And it really was like a superhero movie. It's just you never get to see him use his superpowers.
Yeah.
It all happens between scenes. Like when he puts the axe in the statue, clearly he has powers that he could do that. But you don't think of it as a superhero movie because that's never really shown. And humor, like the fucking part where they're talking about the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so good. Just like, I can't remember how it goes anymore. But just basically by the Smurfette thing and, you know, how there's only the one female Smurf.
And I don't hate her, but I don't really like Drew Barrymore that much.
Right.
But she was good in that movie.
Yeah.
Everyone did a good job. But I like the idea of a movie that doesn't necessarily make sense, but it still feels like it works.
Yeah, and I do feel like, because that's when I started, I read the Donnie Darko book they put out, and then I listened to both commentary tracks. Yeah, it was like a companion book and
a
script.
So not like a novelization.
No, it's just a script and like some behind-the-scenes shit. And I listened to both commentary tracks, both versions of the DVD, and I don't think Richard Kelly himself knew what the fuck he was doing. I really don't.
Well, you know, I've only seen one of his... Yeah, one of his movies. Do you know David Lynch, right?
Right.
He's known for being really weird. Apparently, whenever someone tries to decipher his movies and they give him a theory, he'll be like, "No." And my theory is like he does have like an idea, and probably some of these theories are right.
Right.
But he wants you to rethink it, and he doesn't want you to know, because then it makes you sort of think about it more.
I think
maybe... And there's probably stuff going on in there that he didn't intend that's in there.
Maybe that's kind of what Richard Kelly's doing, because he would always do it in this commentary, but it got kind of maddening of like, perhaps, or I think it's possible that, and it's like, you made this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
But I think that's actually a good approach, because, like, first of all, David Lynch is someone I would forgive you for not liking, because he's just weird for weird's sake.
I think Lost Highway is the only Lynch movie I ever saw.
Some people say that's the lesser one. Did you like it?
It was okay. It had a really good soundtrack. I found the center of they are making a lot of references to Frank, whoever, you know, more yeah. Frank stuff. Just, I don't know, something about this this guy and this dude in the white t-shirt. He's just bugging me. He's just, like, too awesome. Oh, look how cool I am.
I like how we're judging the movie completely unfairly, but I think we're going to be right in the end. I don't know why.
I wonder if James Duval's in this, because surely he's not doing anything else.
Who?
The guy that played Frank in the original.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because what has he been in the last 10 years?
Is he related to Robert Duval?
Oh, I'm sure he is. With no actual knowledge, I'd say yes. So the whole Donnie Darko thing. Yeah, it was weird how it almost made sense where, I don't know, the problem is there was that book in it, the Philosophy of Time Travel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they never explain any of that in the movie. Mm-hmm. They tried to put it in the director's cut, like they show actual pages from it, mm-hmm. but you didn't have time to read it. So that was kind of weird. But if you go look it up, there's all this weird shit about divergent timelines and the living receiver and the manipulated dead and all this mm-hmm. crazy horse shit that almost makes sense. And, oh shit, Hobo Humpin' Slowbo Babe is in this movie.
Is that a song
or a band?
That's
a classic 90s song. That is fucking, that's awesome. There's a song called,
I don't know that one.
Called Whale. Well,
but now I do.
Man, you know, this really isn't going to work, is it? I mean, we're not even watching this stupid movie. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Now that we're partway into this project, perhaps we should just do a normal ham radio later, yeah. right? Because this isn't going to work.
Okay. We want to play a song now?
Sure.
I'm huge, huge, huge into Frank Black. I believe, you know what I remember, though? Is, I have Dork Volume 1, the collection.
Right.
And there's a couple parts where he's just making fun of Frank Black fans who are like, Frank Black is God. But that's kind of like me. I can't deny that I have a bias towards him. And that I love him, but I have too much of his music
in
my iPod.
I heard a quote by Frank Black I thought was funny, where they asked him why the Pixies reunion. And mm-hmm. he's like, well, I figured when I went solo, I'd become the new Elton John. And that never happened. So, Pixies reunion.
So, right now I'm going to start up a couple Frank Black songs.
You mentioned this one earlier, right?
I mentioned this one earlier because I haven't read all of Preacher yet. I read the first three volumes. It's a great book. And maybe
it's
we'll talk more about it.
My favorite comic.
Yeah, I know. But I think if they made that Preacher series they were talking about, and probably thank God that they didn't, this would be a good theme song, because it has sort of a Southern feel, and it's about being a cowboy.
Nice. So okay. This is Western Star by Frank Black and the Catholics.
Western Star.
Sunshine burns me in bed. I think I'll go to Cafe Noir. Big screen turns me on. I'm gonna be a Western Star. How hard can it be? Inside your cool soft serum, rolling on the moped inside a cul-de-sac. Come on, how hard can it be? How can it be when you're a Western Star, shining and free? Don't you know that a star burns best? How can it be? I say now, how can it be? She's so sentimental. She's got my picture in her. The two man is in her dreams. I was lifted when she said, how hard can it be? How hard can it be when you're a Western Star, shining and free? But don't you know that a star burns best? How hard can it be? I said now, how hard can it be? Now he's headed skyward, standing up on piles of plywood, and all he thinks about is how he looks like heroes, period, Bowie. And his figure blocks the light, and he takes away the night, and he's dancing to the new bolero. Yo soy un pistolero. I'm not shaking in my boots. I'm ruler of this room, boy. So if you move, I shoot. How hard can it be when you're a Western Star, shining and free? Don't you know that a star burns best? How hard can it be? I say now, how hard can it be? How hard can it be when you're a Western Star, shining and free? Don't you know that a star burns best? How hard can it be? I say now. We'll be right back.
when I went to Japan, I went to Japan, you know. When I went to Japan
for 9 months,
they still owe me over. They still owe me $4,000.
But how long ago was that?
That was That was over a year ago. Year and a half ago, I guess.
Ooh, so it's gone. Eh? That money ain't coming.
Probably not. I filled out forms.
How does that work? Like, did you say the company went bankrupt?
I have to send it with to the Japanese government, and they have to pay everyone their money. Hmm. So I might be one of the last people to get paid I get paid.
That'd be nice. So I guess it could still come through. Yeah. That's cool.
When I least suspect it, that would be great.
And not to, obviously it sucks to lose on the money, but at least you got to go to Japan and get fucked over in an interesting place. It's not like you were working at a Corn Husker in Idaho and they didn't pay you. That would just suck.
And they set me up with their place.
Right.
So I didn't have to go for my own apartment. But that sucked afterwards because they were like, one day we suddenly, me and my roommate go to the door. Huh, we're being kicked out. I wonder why. Because the company didn't pay our rent.
Christ.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I had a roommate. He didn't hear any Frank Black stuff, but he's a huge Pixies fan. So I literally have all the Pixies songs as far as I know now. This is my collection. Have it, and I just put it on my computer. So now I don't have all the Frank Black music, but I have all the Pixies music.
Nice,
nice. Yeah, I'm not even the biggest Pixies fan. I almost prefer when he went solo. But there's still some songs I absolutely love. Maybe if I do another show with you, we'll play those. But I think I gotta limit myself to 2 Frank Black, to be nice to the audience.
Right.
But the other thing, and this is where I'm going now. The other place I heard Frank Black early on was in a CD. I remember I gave the CD, I think you found it for me later after I lost the file. Powerpuff Girls Heroes and Villains.
Yeah.
That was an awesome fucking CD.
That was. I remember when I moved out to Vancouver, you gave me three CDs full of MP3s, and there's so much good shit on there, and I think that was some of what was on there, too.
Yeah, but I lost it after. I can't remember why, but I mentioned it to a friend recently, and he found it almost instantly.
Nice.
And you know what? The reason I didn't get that song, I would have just happily bought the song, CD, or music. The CD is out of print.
Shit, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That had some good shit, too. It had, Devo, Go Monkey Go.
It had Devo. It had Apples and Stereo.
Apples and Stereo, yeah.
Biss. Two songs by Biss, the theme song, which is longer than this, and its own song, which I think I'm going to play that one, not the theme song, but the other one they play, because I really like that one. Music I wouldn't have heard of otherwise. It was my first exposure to Shonen Knife.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. And the first song I'm going to play is Walk and Chew Gum by Particularly Yours.
I love this song. It's for the mayor, right?
Yes, it's the mayor's song. And it's very, very odd. It's it's so archaic that it couldn't have ever existed in any time period.
But it's wicked catchy. I really like this song.
I keep forgetting to look for more music by this band too, Optigonally Yours. They use this old musical instrument from the 70s called an octagon. It's like a children's organ.
Nice.
And after that, I am going to play, I was thinking of playing another song, Don't Look Down, which is sort of a downer song, because I thought those are kind of quieter songs. But instead I decided to ramp it up with Fight the Power, which is
the other Biz song.
Yeah, which is the girls fighting Mojo Jojo. And there's 2 songs for that, and this is the first of the 2.
Right on. So, some Powerpuff Girls music on AM Radio.
Charging on me. Scabula bibula ribilla hitchin' a wep at a chew. Dingle dangle mingle mangle shingle shangle ingle angle. Tositesimo semesero seresibo sebesa. Dip dap dapple apple pip pep cattle haddle. The big black bug bit the big black bear and made the big black bear bleed. Shooby Taylor go pop.
Peep pop peep pop peep pop peep pop peep pop peep pop peep.
Mojo Jojo continues to lay waste to their town. The girls swoop in to stop this psychotic simian.
All right, Mojerk, how'd you like a taste of buttercups?
Up on the mountain, I'll be counting days till we meet again. I get my revenge, we'll never be friends. I'll keep building up my brain. Just watch your back for my next.
We'll be right back.
So as we were looking at stuff on the iTunes, Devo came up because Stefan's got the first Devo album, which is my favorite.
It's a great Devo album.
Yeah, Are We Not Men? We Are Devo.
I picked this one up when I was in Japan. I don't know why. I just there's a nice store that had used CDs, and I said, you know, I heard a few Devo songs. I remember I like Devo, and I like weird music.
That's
so I'll pick
thing.
It up.
It's like everybody was aware of Devo, especially through Whip It, obviously. But it really is like that extra step to actually listen to some Devo. It's the one that it takes a while to
And it's easy to say, oh,
do.
Devo's just this weird, wacky band. But they have really good abilities in terms of like sound and what they can do.
And especially like the first two albums. The first one especially is my favorite. I started hearing it in weird places. Like Uncontrollable Urge was on an old episode of Jackass.
Really?
And I was like, what the hell is that song? That's great. And then it turns out it's Devo. That documentary, Dogtown and Z-Boys, it ends with this awesome song, which turned out to be Gut Feeling. And I'm like, what band is that? And I look it up. Devo. Like,
yeah.
Devo does all these great songs that I didn't even know about.
Well, they're actually doing another CD coming up.
It's after like what, 19
years? 19 years for CD. Go to their website. You should check out the music video for it. It's awesome. I love it.
And it is really cool. And it's one thing we were talking about is how, mostly with the internet, I'm much happier to go get things on my own instead of having it fed to you like in TV or whatever. You just watch what's on. Except music videos. I actually enjoyed turning on Much Music more because then I would be exposed to things I didn't know.
Yeah, Much Music. I wasn't big into music like you were, but it's really disappointed me what Much Music has become.
Yeah, I mean, it took an extra decade, but it's essentially what MTV did. It just turned into a shitty teen network. But, like, because nowadays there's still music videos, but you have to search them out, and I just don't. That is the one thing that I really preferred having fed to me, is music videos. Like, they had this old show called The Wedge. It would play all kinds of weird crap.
I do remember that show. Yeah,
and it was so cool. It was so great. Sookyun Lee used to host it, and she was Chester Brown's girlfriend for a while.
Oh, it's all connected. The comic writer.
Yeah, yeah.
Artist.
It's all connected in Canada, man. Everything is connected. Did you ever hear, too, Chester Brown's technique for drawing comics? He literally doesn't even have a drawing board. He draws on a wood block on his lap.
Really?
And he only draws one panel at a time, then cuts out those panels and pastes them where he wants to put them on a page. And then when he puts together trades, like the I Never Liked You collection, he wanted to spread it out more. So he cut them again and repasted them in a slower pace. And it's like, you're a maniac. No one else does comic books like that. That's crazy. But it still works fine.
Yeah, it works great.
But, and like I was saying earlier today, that there's these collections of my friend Matt Bray out in New York had them, of famous music video directors.
Spike Jonze, Michael
Spike
Gondry.
Spike Jonze, yeah, Michel Gondry.
Michel?
Yeah, he's French. He's from France.
Okay.
Michel Gondry. And Mark Romanek. And yeah, you realize like every cool video that you ever saw for the last 15 years is all made by these four guys, basically. And Bjork has worked with everyone.
Really?
Like everyone cool. She knows who's cool and they all do a video for Bjork eventually. But back to Devo. Let's play a song.
Yes.
Let's go with Mongoloid.
Mongoloid's great.
How I heard this was I had a compilation, like a two-disc compilation of classic punk songs, and this started playing, and it was another case where I'm like, that song's fucking cool. Who's that? Devo? Again? Devo? Like, Devo is so cool, and I never realized. I always thought of them as the later incarnation where they're just like a nerd band.
Yeah.
But they were super cool at first.
But there's a Mongoloid. I'm really bad at judging what a song is about. But I remember you mentioned it, and I was like, oh yeah, so what is this song about?
From what I heard, it was basically, it got some criticism from various fucking uptight idiots, but the idea is it is a guy who's like got the extra chromosome. He is technically like semi-retarded, but he still has a job, he still goes to work, and nobody really knows. He keeps his life together, and it's sort of like a nice song.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very hopeful.
But I mean, you can't use the term mongoloid. That's what it came out in 1978. Come on. That's one thing I think is interesting, too, is I was born in 79. This came out in 78, and it's weird that I generally really don't like old music. This is like the cutoff. Anything that came before the first Devo, I probably don't like it. I just think that's weird. It's like right when I was born is when I started liking music. I don't know, that's strange. Mongoloid by Devo, awesome song. We'll be right back. So we decided to head outside, go grab something to eat.
So it's kind of raining. It's sputtering, I guess the word would be.
Yeah, and this is my disrespect for my camera. I'm like, fuck you, camera. You got to learn to fucking...
be a man.
I was just thinking how that girl I was dating in New York, she used to say I had my podcast voice, mm-hmm. where I'll just be talking normal, and then I turn this on. So here we go. We're doing stuff. And I don't think it's that bad. Mostly just trying to be... to enunciate.
Yes. I certainly understand that as an English teacher.
Right.
Because I teach English as a second language, and you have to talk to people who don't know the English language, and you don't really notice until you start to learn to teach how much of a difference there is between like having your teacher voice and having, and I don't mean just teachers in general.
Right.
I wouldn't know because I've only taught English as a second language. But having your English teacher voice casual voice down this way.
I just actually listened to, about 6 months ago, an audiobook by a guy who taught English in China for a whole year.
Yeah.
And when he finally met another native English speaker after like 7 months, he was like, amazing, I can talk normal. I don't have to talk all slow and halting. That book, though, it was called Letters from China. Mm-hmm. Really good book. I definitely recommend it. I'm going to spoil it right here.
Okay.
Where it's just letters the guy wrote while he was in China. Every week he'd write a letter and they compiled it into a book. And just seemed like a really good guy, really nice dude. I was going to send him an email and be like, man, that was a great book. Turns out, like 3 months after he moved back, he had all these health problems and he died. And this was published like posthumously. But they don't tell you that at the start. So you kind of like really fall in love with this dude in a platonic way.
I thought you were going to say, China did it.
No, he came back to America and then he died.
I felt a spoiler. I think it's better to know that beforehand.
I felt so bad. It's just like the rug just gets pulled out from under you. Because I remember I was having all these like,
bad.
New York was kind of overwhelming me. But his stories of China made New York seem... like nothing. So I was going to send him a letter just saying that. Like, hey, you made New York seem way nicer with your stories of China. And then he's fucking dead? God damn it. You know?
Man.
Brutal. So, you were saying?
This writer died on the way to his home planet.
Exactly, man. That is like exactly what it was like. Fucking the Poochie syndrome. They should warn you about that. So, what were we talking about? English
Japan.
Second language? Japan, right?
Okay, I first got into English, teaching English as a second language, ELP. That's like a local thing right here.
Right.
Every summer, what they do is they have like 2 5-week courses, and basically people live on the STU campus for 5 weeks, and they can only speak English. They get reprimanded if they speak anything else.
Actually, they got a thing like that too. My friend Matt is going to Montreal for 5 weeks to do the same thing with French. He's not allowed to speak English. Well, the whole 5 weeks?
Well, I don't know about that place, but this place, we got a lot of people from all over the world. Like, there were people from China, Japan, Korea, a lot of people from Quebec, as you can imagine.
So this is how you got hooked up with the Japan gig?
Yeah, and sort of. It's just that then I realized I really like teaching English as a second language.
Right.
It's really enjoyable. So then I decided maybe I'll teach, Dad suggested maybe I'll teach somewhere else. And I think part of it was because it was time for me to get out of the damn house. And I certainly don't blame
him. Screw you, Mom, I'm going to Japan.
I certainly don't blame him for wanting me out of the house because I was 25 and I was still in the house.
Right.
Or no, I was 24. But still, that's... you should have been gone, because I graduated, like, the year before,
right?
At least.
That's cool, too, that you got to go to Japan, because I heard it's, like, not that hard to get an English second language gig in some of the crappier Asian countries, but Japan is, like, a really good one.
Well, part of it was that I had experience.
Right.
The other part of it was just getting a graduate degree.
Yeah, I was going to say that some people recommended that to me, but without a degree, it really hurts. It's much harder to get that gig.
Yeah, I'd recommend it to most people, unless you are an asshole or something.
Well, my friend Manu from Korea was always trying to get me to go do it in Korea. He's like, come on, man, we'll hang out, it'll be great.
Did he work for something like that?
No, he just said he was sure I could get the thing, and I don't know if that's true.
I wouldn't be surprised. I do know, though, that it also becomes much harder to get a good gig if you are 30 or older.
Right.
So,
yeah, I'm getting close.
Oh, you're 29.
29, but yeah,
okay,
I mean, by the time
30.
All my paperwork went through, I'd be 30.
Last month, I turned 27.
Maybe I could just go do it freelance.
you know?
On a street corner.
Yeah. Go set up, like when a band gigs their, like, sets up their own tour.
Getting to Japan, though, it was very stressful just to... You had to go through the job interviews and stuff, and first of all, it's also expensive to do because I had to go to Halifax for the interview.
Right.
So, and spend a couple days there, and it was very stressful. You had to show that you're a good teacher, and I only had like 10 weeks experience teaching English as a second language. I did do very briefly this thing where two Koreans came over to my house and I tutored them.
I was gonna
say, at the same time, but
for these interviews, was it Asian people or English people?
No, it was English people.
Okay. And so you can't just talk fast and try to put one over on them?
No. If you talk fast, then how the fuck are they going to learn?
I suppose, yeah.
Catch up, slowpokes! But I eventually passed. I kept, like, but there was always these little things that got me spazzed out in terms of stress.
I was just going to say, I always complained about how loud New York was. This is a shockingly loud street for Fredericton, but go on.
Well, it's like the only street in Fredericton.
Yeah, to be fair, this is the one. Every city gets one.
Yeah, everybody gets one. Yeah, this is just the street that goes straight down. Is there a street like that on the north side?
Kind of, actually. The street I live on is like Main Street, Union Street, and
okay. It's
kind of a pain in the ass because you can't even cross half of the time. But I'm thinking I'm already sort of turning into like back to Fredericton size, where when I first got back, everything seemed so empty and quiet and close. And today we're like, I don't know, do we want to walk all the way downtown? By New York standards, like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm getting lazy already.
But I finally got there, and I deliberately said I'll go there after Christmas because I wanted to spend time with my family.
Right.
And my sister was coming over, and she's in New Zealand.
Nice.
She's been in there for 5 years now, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, she really enjoys it. Just stop, I gotta tie my shoe.
Sure. How do people do stuff like that? Like, how do you just move to a different country? Did she get married to someone or what?
No. She has a boyfriend, though. They've been going out for 3 years, I think.
Well, I'm just like, maybe it's just that the U.S. are like total ball busters, but moving to the U.S. was really hard for me to do, but I always hear about people just moving other places. Like, how did you do that?
Well, it was through the company, is part of it.
Right. And jobs and careers, I always forget about that.
But yeah, I went to Japan around January in 2007, January 2007, and I spent 9 months in Obihiro, and that was pretty good. It was lonely sometimes, I know how you feel about that.
Yeah, well, like you were saying when we were talking earlier, that like my isolation out in Vancouver, that it was similar, but that must be so much worse when everybody talks Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that would be fucked up.
Well, your friends are limited to like work people.
Right.
And I'll be honest, it's not that they were bad, but I didn't particularly care for them.
Right.
They were like, they're technically good people, but they were just, we couldn't connect. You know, there was no like wavelength that matched. Although one of the guys, nice guy, he was the other Canadian guy, he was extremely annoying.
Oh, yeah?
He was one of those people who tells bad jokes and he doesn't realize he's not funny, or even after people tell him. Sort of like David Brent or something.
Right. So not every Canadian is like a delightful treat.
It's sort of like what Christian Bale says, you're a nice guy, but that just got me here.
I don't feel like a nice guy.
I'm hoping. slap on my cheek.
Your eyes cry at last. Told me everything I was afraid to ask. Now I'm dressed in
Japan. I enjoyed it, but like there was lots of lonely moments.
Yeah.
But there's the stuff, let's focus on the stuff that I did like about it.
I was going to say, did you write any pained haikus? And
no.
Like the cherry blossoms slowly fall as I slit my wrists.
You know what I was hoping though? I was hoping I'd get a girlfriend when I went over there, because there's lots of people who think the gaijin are hot.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that in Vancouver a lot.
And here's the problem. One, everyone who already worked at my place was connected.
Right.
Already, so God fucking damn. And this happens to me all the time. Whenever I see a girl I like, she's always with someone. And usually someone I know, like a friend. So that takes me off. I'm not angry at my friends. They have great taste.
God damn you and your hot girlfriend. Oh, I remember at the coffee shop in Vancouver, because we had a lot of Asians in Vancouver, there was this one girl from Japan who was only going to be there for like 6 months and definitely kind of was giving me the eyes, and I was like, oh, I could totally work this into something, but, and I kind of regret it because she was really hot, but I just felt weird by the language barrier because her English was so bad that I just knew it would only be about sleeping with her, because we could never talk about anything at all, really. It's like talking to a child.
I could never just say, hey, do you want to have sex?
Right. I kind of wish I could have got over it.
I'm a very nervous guy.
Yeah, well, me too. That's the thing. I don't know. It's like, but I kind of wish I had done it, but I know I couldn't have. I'm just not that dude.
I understand. But here's where I fucked up. This was all me fucking up. I was at a bar, and I don't even drink. So it was just the people from work were hanging out.
Right.
We were starting conversations, and I don't know why, but I started this conversation with this woman I didn't know, who knew just a little bit of English. And basically I told her, I'm an English teacher, and
fucky,
she said,
fucky, fucky?
I said, you know, I'm an English teacher. Oh, can you teach me something? All right. And I was just talking to her, and her friend came over, who was also quite attractive. Both of them were. And I just started teaching them some English stuff, and then we left. And then I was like, he goes, hey, what are you doing? The guy, my boss,
right,
who's a very horny guy, he says, what are you fucking doing? You're making out like I'm banded there. I think they're really into you. And, okay. What do I do now? And I guess I just started talking to them some more. And then afterwards I was like, Fuck, I did not give them my phone number. I did remember before we left saying something like, oh, maybe I'll see you next week. And you know what I did? This is the saddest, most pathetic pussy thing ever. I went over there next week and waited for them like an hour just in case.
I could see doing that. That I could see that for sure.
Oh, God.
Oh, because then you could have moved
that
on to the...
That was such a wasted opportunity. I mean, even if nothing happened, I should have tried something.
You could have moved on to the French lesson. Ménage à toi.
Zing.
So that was your big chance.
My boss was a nice guy. He's an Australian guy. But he was a little too horny for his own good. He talked about one of the girls he was teaching, how awesome it would be to get in the sack with her. And she was like fucking 15.
I remember that.
And he's
though,
like 30. That's just, it's not even, it's...
That's got to be a big reason why some people get into that whole gig. I remember I was reading a website about people that were teaching in Japan. Mm-hmm. And this guy had this story of like, he was like a tutor, I guess. It was more one-on-one. And he was tutoring these two teenage girls. And the night before he was to head back to North America, I'm trying to remember how this went. They all were at some festival and everybody was drunk and he ended up sleeping on their couch. And through the course of the night, he banged both daughters and the mom. Like they would just kind of come down stairs where he was on the couch.
Wait, well, where did you read this?
The internet. Yeah, where everything's got to be true. But he said it was, assuming this story even happened, he said it was like creepy because they clearly had coordinated it.
Oh, geez.
You know? I don't know. So that was
we need your seed for the fertilization process.
But I definitely noticed that in Vancouver, that there were a lot of English second language teachers who had Asian girlfriends that were far too hot for them. So I don't know, you could always move out to Vancouver. That could work.
I don't know, I was thinking of Korea, but now that you're back, it's one reason I want to stick around for a while, because I have friends here and I'm not good at moving.
Yeah, moving is, it's rough. I'm going to be here at least this summer, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either what I'm going to do, but I'll be here for a while, I imagine, but
I kind of figure
I should head to Korea sometime, maybe next year.
I figure I'll just be a rambling man and keep on, I don't
on
know,
the road.
I'll probably stay within Canada, but we'll see. I do have to go overseas sometime because I've never been. I got to do that sometime.
You know what I got on my iPod? I got the theme to The Littlest Hobo.
The Littlest Hobo, yeah. I was thinking that too. Oh, didn't you say before we left, you were saying about a CD that someone gave you as a gift? Was that a song you were going to play?
It's not Which nothing way to do with Japan, but maybe we can play some Japanese music right now.
Yes, sure.
We'll play one by the Beat Crusaders.
So these are the guys that did the Beck cartoon?
Yeah, they did the Beck anime music. They did really, I really like that anime. It's very good. You said you liked the manga, but it's easier to skip in the manga than in the anime.
Yeah, mostly I like the anime also, but I didn't realize how much filler there was until I couldn't flip past it quickly.
Yeah.
Not that the guy with the parrot isn't fascinating, the swim teacher.
I like that guy. He's great.
After a while,
he's a complete
psycho. After a while, I'm like, okay, let's get back to the band. Or I guess it's all the shit with him at school and the bullies.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I've seen that a million times. But yeah, it is very good.
But they did a really good soundtrack for it. This isn't from the soundtrack. This is just the band that was doing the music for the characters. This song is called... I forgot what song I was going to play. Last Goodbye. It's a real quick song.
Cool.
I think it would have been good if they used it for some sort of sports anime because it's very high action. Very... not action. What's the word I'm looking for? Energetic.
Nice.
You know. And after that, I'm going to play a song by The Pillows. It's another Japanese band. They did music for... What was that anime? FLCL?
Oh yeah, right. Fooly Cooly.
Yes, exactly. Apparently that's like, that means cop a feel in Japanese.
I heard it was something like that, yeah.
But that's not what the creator intended. He just thought Fooly Cooly sounded really cool. It's the English words.
It's like if we had a show in Japan and it was called like, Getting to Third Base.
Yeah. It's a baseball show. Yeah. Oh, what's that one from The Simpsons? Boobs, about remedial students starring Carmen Electra. Oh, I thought it was going to be about her boobs. And the other song we're going to play is Little Busters, which is actually from FLCL.
Cool.
Which is the song they usually play when the main character is about to kick some ass. I'm
days I can't think of the future. Let me kiss the knees of masters. Chest away, devils and little bastards. Hell yeah. With a kiss, think of the future. Let me kiss the knees of masters. Chest away, devils and little bastards. Hell yeah.
Yeah.